Good morning. And this is Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osman at KLDD, Club 1220. Our number is 651-275-1220. Today will be a fun show as we will have Judy Hennigan and Jack Stallman, a.k.a. as the Twin Cities' own Martini and Olive. And this pair has been stuck in the 70s for the last 34 years. December 31st. 1979 is where their clock stopped. And we'll be discussing today a little bit more about Christmas and the 1970s and some of the outrageous, unforgettable, and sometimes regretted parts of that decade. So I want to start with a story. I saw someone recently, and you might find this experience common also. I'm at the grocery store, and I see someone wearing something that I had not seen in a long time. This person was wearing a bright polyester pantsuit. And you might see this person at the casino, or you might see this person at a restaurant sometime, and you wonder, why would they wear this? What's their motivation? Are they trying to be different? Are they trying to get attention? And I don't think so. I think what I find a lot of people I know and doing this my website and finding video and talking to people is you find a spot in life you're comfortable in. And when you're watching a movie or you're watching something on TV and you hit up the pause button or you want to relive that same moment, and sometimes your mind is stuck in that moment. You don't move from that. The music you listen to, the technology you use. I know people that don't use cell phones, and they're not gonna move beyond where they are because the cell phone is James, you have a cell phone, right?
I do.
Okay, so you did move beyond on the 90s, right?
I did, but I think of like my dad. He has one of those old flip phones, used it until the hinges broke. They brought it into Best Buy. They said, hey, George, get over here. Look at this thing. Someone still has a phone like this.
Yeah, it looks like a shoebox.
It's a dinosaur phone.
But you find people that and sometimes people have more than one characteristic that they're pausing. I don't say stuck. I think that people want to be in a spot they're comfortable and they're happy in. And so I wear my Members Only jacket twice a year. It's a very comforting feeling for me. So when I go to a concert, if I go out sometimes, I wear it. And it does get some reaction, sometimes not a good reaction. but you feel comfortable with that. And I think that Christmas is also a time for flashback. It's a time that it's actually accepted. And you bring out the same ornaments, you bring out the same decorations, and you look at these things in your house and you see this this crocheted Noel long striped thing that was popular in the 70s, and you put it out there. But you put it out there because it's every year, and you can't not put it up because it's Christmas and it's part of your holiday tradition. And, you know, even though it might be out of style, and you would never see that in the Macy's showroom, but it's part of our comfort zone. And I think that another thing that's comfortable is all those Christmas shows that are on every year. And luckily, the networks have not had to produce a lot of new ones the last 50 years because all we want to watch is Rudolph and Frosty. I know that...
That's true. That's true.
Did you watch Rudolph this year?
I haven't seen it yet, but it's not officially Christmas until I do. And I think of like the new shows that they have are mostly just celebrities on there voicing the same old stories. The same things.
Well, let's take a little sample here of Rudolph.
On Sunday, December 4th, Burl Ives again tells the exciting new story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on the General Electric Fantasy Hour. The date, Sunday, December 4th. Join Rudolph in a trip to the Island of Misfit Toys. Meet Yukon Cornelius, the funniest prospector of the North.
Gad, Zeus, the Bumble Snow Monster of the North strikes again.
Meet Santa's elves and hear seven original Christmas songs. Burl sings,
have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer.
It's a holly jolly Christmas special for the entire family. Don't miss Rudolph, Sunday, December 4th, in color on most of these stations.
Mark the calendar.
Still in color, too.
Not too shabby. I love that one.
This was the new Rudolph. So this commercial was a little bit I found that off a tape that was about 35 years old, and it was still a new story. This next one also is actually my favorite one. Jimmy Durante narrated Frosty, and this is a half hour program, and it was part of, again, it's what makes me feel that Christmas is coming.
See if it'll make Frosty alive again.
Happy birthday! Hey, I said my first words. But snowmen can't talk. All right, come on now. What's the joke? Could I really be alive? I mean, I can make words, I can move, I can juggle, I can sweep, I can count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 6, 8. Well, I can count to 5. What do you know? I'm even ticklish. In fact, I'm all living. I am alive. What a neat thing to happen to a nice guy like me.
There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. Oh, when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around.
Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
Every time I watch that, I still wonder what's going to happen at the end of the show. Will Frosty make it and be able to make it for Christmas?
So you're stuck before you find out what the ending is.
Oh, I'm stuck. I watch it for 30 seconds, and I'm watching the whole thing. And even though I have it on DVD and tape, when I see it on TV, I have to watch it. Because I want to watch the new Christmas commercials. I want to watch what will be the new commercials that I want to watch every year. Beyond the TV shows, I think that everyone remembers their favorite Christmas commercials. And luckily, again, that the people that have made video and made TV did not have to make new ones every year because we wanted to watch the ones we're comfortable with. Not all of them made that, made the tradition. So how many years did Peter come home from college and wake up with the Folgers coffee? The same kid who got picked up by Ronald McDonald ice skating every year. But I do get a lot of requests on tcmedianow.com, the website where you can see a lot of old commercials and video, for commercials that aired once. It may be a local commercial that a family member aired in, or for some of our defunct department stores we talked about last week. This clip I wanted to play here was a Toys R Us commercial, and it only aired for about 2 years.
We, Toys R Us, we wanna be Toys R Us.
For some reason, Jeffrey the Giraffe doing a John Travolta disco dance in front of a Toys R Us was not a Christmas classic that survived past 1979.
That's really strange. That is the most funky toy commercial I've ever heard.
That one has received a lot of hits.
Understandably.
I've actually not seen that. I found that on a tape many years ago, and I've not seen it since. But crazier things can happen and may come back. Do you enjoy this dinner part of your Christmas tradition, James?
Yeah, it is. I think so. Usually the night before Christmas, we get together, have a little chow, and actually breakfast the day after is a little more. But
now, have you ever done takeout for Christmas?
No, I haven't had that joy yet. Maybe this year.
Well, there is the option, and the Kentucky Fried Chicken people wanted to make sure we knew that not only is Christmas dinner and family part of Christmas, but so is fried chicken. So let's take a listen to a commercial from 1970. This is Colonel Sanders, actually, inviting everyone to try his again, new finagled Kentucky Fried Chicken this holiday season.
I'm Colonel Harold Sanders, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about my Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Hey, you two coming?
You go ahead, honey. I want to talk to these folks a little bit longer. Now, I said Kentucky Fried Chicken. There's only one way to cook Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that's my way. We always use plump, young broilers, always fresh, never frozen chicken. It's cut in pieces, and each piece is dipped in milk and egg wash, then into seasoned flour, in which we have the 11 different spices and herbs for flavor. One more thing, folks. It's the only way that you're going to get chicken that is finger-licking good. And I'd be mighty proud to have you try Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mighty proud. Excuse me a moment, will you please? Hey, look at there. Didn't I tell you it was finger-licking good?
Kentucky Fried Chicken. If you want Kentucky Fried Chicken, you have to visit me.
The Colonel's hanging out. The tree is lit. The young granddaughter is trying to get his attention, but he wants to tell us good folks about that Kentucky Fried Chicken. And again, the new finagled Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It always has time for the people.
Yeah, you have to make time for the people.
Yeah, it's amazing that you can make chicken sound so magical and so familial.
Is there one in Stillwater? Can I stop by afterward? When we come back, two people who have not left their comfort zone again since 1979, Martini and Olive, will be at the Old Log Theater December 17th and 18th. They'll be joining me live next after this break. And back to Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB. Again, the number is 651-275-1220. If you have a 1970s Christmas memory you want to share or a commercial that you recall. Joining me in studio right now, and this is a voice you might have heard a little bit in the last segment, is Jack Stallman, one half of the Martini and Olive act. And on the phone, we have Judy Hennigan, who plays Olive Newton-John in Martini and Olive's revival. Good morning.
Great to be here.
Good morning.
How are you, Judy?
Thanks for having us. Pardon?
How are you, Judy? It's been a long time.
I know. I'm good. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having us on.
So, just a little bit of background. This show was created by Judy and Grant Ritchie, a local actor, actually a national actor, was in several national commercials and film. Please, Judy, tell me a little bit about the formulation of the show, you know, how it started, and just the origins of it.
Right. Well, Grant and I, we'd been friends for a long time, and he was doing kind of a funny lounge act called, he had this Tony Martin character, and we were doing a benefit for Frank Theater, and Grant suggested that maybe I would team up with him and come up with a character, and so I came up with the name Olive, and he changed his to Martini, and that's where it started. It started with one medley, and we did a variety show, a comedy show at a comedy club here. We just did a medley, and people liked it so much that we just kept building on. Then we added dancers, and we added a manager who plays guitar and is a very funny character, and the swizzle stick dancers, and a security guard that's very strange and wonderful and gets into the act. Yeah, it just grew and grew from just one medley to several different medleys, all 70s music, laughingly poking fun at the 70s and the style mistakes of the 70s, and yeah, parroting all that sort of thing, and having, and also gathering the worst kind of 70s fashion that we could find from every single thrift store in the Twin Cities area.
We were looking at some clips, actually, before the show this morning, James and I, and we were wondering, where did you find those shirts? And I know a lot of them might have been custom or post-retrofit, but some of those shirts,
you can only describe them as fantastic. Those things are amazing.
You had to have gone to Ragstock when they first opened up at the right time to find those as they were being discarded.
Yeah, we have been collecting forever. And Grant and I always have a really good eye for the weirdest, most hideous thing we can find. And it's getting harder and harder because a lot of people are just wearing these things now. So we had to go more, more Vegas in the last, like, 5 years or so. But we've been collecting for, well, we started the act in 92, and we just have bins and bins of hideous 70s stuff. And we've had some things made, some capes and feather and glitter outfits made as well, that matching outfits. So it is, it's just one bad costume change after another.
You're really you're competing with people to have to get these costumes? Like, they're wearing them just in their regular lives?
Do you go to Vegas for, is there a convention you go to in Vegas to, or do you go to Vegas and see someone? I saw a guy with a polyester suit on. Do you go up to him and say, hey, I'll give you $20 if you want to give me your your lime green suit?
Yeah, we wouldn't give them. I don't know, because $420.
Oh,
we
probably
try
just
to
jump
keep
them.
It somewhere around the $8 range.
Well, we're going to get people to go to the Old Lock Theater on December 17th and 18th, so you might be able to afford that that suit. When I see him at Rainbow next time, I'll let him know give him your number.
Please do.
It could be like Rocky Horror Picture Show. We should encourage people to come dressed as, you know, their favorite character or their favorite Tony Martini or Olive. Outfit that they have in their closet. So please come on out.
There is a market for it. When I've done live show, I've offered to people to give their tapes away, and usually they say, "Well, take them now because they're going in the trash tomorrow." The shirts are a little bit more desirable right now. So you started in '92, and then it evolved into a full show. And what year was that in, Judy?
Mm-hmm. I think it took us about 3 years, and Sandy Hay from the Hay City Stage at that time approached us to do a full-length show, and then we added all sorts of other characters and did a two-hour show and came up with more medleys and made very funny videos to add to the show, our workout video and our disaster footage video from the from 1970 films. And so we added all sorts of things, and then since then, we went on to do it at a number of different theaters throughout the Twin Cities, and we toured in Orlando and Seattle, and then myself and my husband moved out to L.A., and Grant came up for a little bit, but he came and went several times, so we did Martini and Olive out in L.A., but it turned out that I would come back with my husband every Christmas season to do our Christmas show here, because BLB is really where we opened the Bryant Lake Ball Theater in Uptown with Martini and Olive, and so we really became a staple of Bryant Lake Ball, usually doing our New Year's show there before we did a bunch of other theaters in the Twin Cities.
And you were the first show at Bryant Lake Ball, the first actual stage show.
Yeah, we were.
In about 1995, 96. And I think 95 was your first year, and I remember I first saw it the second year, and I saw it many times since then. You mentioned those videos, those great workout videos, which I assume are on in retail stores everywhere. I want to play a little clip from that. Unfortunately, on radio, can't show the visuals, but I do have the music from that, so just play a small clip of that here.
8, 9, instant replay. Your body, our body, everybody, work your body. Your body, our body, everybody, work your body. Macho, macho, have the kind of body, always in demand. Jogging in the morning, go man, go. Workouts in the health spa, see our muscles glow. You're so vain, you probably think this workout's about you.
Okay, I'm skipping the Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm going straight to work out now after this. that is inspiring.
Well, if you don't see the video, then you don't see the bit where we take a break and we eat a stick of butter.
Well, and the Kemp's ice cream straight from the freezer afterward. That's my favorite part is when the ice cream comes out. So, Judy, you and Grant did the show for 14 years, right? About 14 years together?
I guess it's more like, I think, 17 years. We did it pretty much all the way through till like 3 years ago, mm-hmm. When Grant died. And I don't know if you mentioned this before, that with Jack, that he had, in 99, he was diagnosed with cancer.
Right.
And he beat it, and it was fantastic, and then it came back in 10 years later.
No, in fact, I was just getting that because, in full disclosure,
right.
Grant was a good friend of both myself and, mm-hmm. and Jack, and was the theater director of North High School among some of his professional work. And I know that he would want to be remembered for everything he did, but a lot of kids from North St. Paul and from this side of the river, he was a big part of their lives. And I think a great thing now is that his character is going to come back to life. You know, Grant will be with us mm-hmm. always, but Jack Stallman, who's sitting next to me here, will be stepping into the role of Grant Ritchie playing Tony Martini.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to do it. I'd heard about the audition in November, and Babs from Babs Casting, who's just absolutely fantastic, reached out to me personally and said, "Hey, you might want to consider coming in for this." And I thought I had no chance in Hades of getting the part because I'm a little young for it. I am. Grant was our teacher, so he was 20 years probably our elder, give or take. And but Judy gave me a shot, and I went in there kind of playing, and I went in with kind of my own spin on the character, that I was Tony Martini's long lost son that he never talked about and kept in the basement. And I went in there fully dressed in my 1970s garb that I had just collected, and came in with my own old medley. And Judy gave me a shot. And really, for me, this is kind of a full circle thing. Not just, you know, filling Grant's shoes, who was, you know, one of my idols, and I went on to go act in L.A. for 5 years, and you know, so he sort of set me on that course. But it really just, it was my first, I guess you could call it, I'm going to go air quotes on it and say professional theater experience. And again, Judy, not slamming what you guys were doing was very professional, but he had us in 1996 as the security guards, and I was 16 years old, and I was paid with two drink tickets, and not alcoholic drink tickets. I mean, I had Buddy's Orange Soda, and I thought
that's still how we pay our people.
That is. Yeah. We're hoping if we get enough people out this year, what is it? If everybody mm-hmm. who comes sees the show or has seen the show tells three friends, we might be able to pay the Swizzle Stick Dancers this year. So we're excited about that.
Well, they get the cheese platter when they go to Brine Lake Bowl, right? They've gotten the cheese platter or the
all green M&Ms, right?
That's right,
Judy?
Right.
That's right. We treat them right. We give them drink tickets and green M&Ms and cheese.
So I had a chance in 1996 to see the show, and we were in it. I mean, more or less, you know, the security guard plays a role. So when Tony Martini and Olive Newton-John come out into the audience, you know, they're sort of protecting us as we go out there, which obviously is very tongue-in-cheek. But
and just to give a little bit of, so those that are not familiar, first of all, again, this is joining with Judy Hennigan and Jack Stallman of Martini and Olive. We'll be performing the December 17th and 18th at the Old Lock Theater, formerly of the Brine Lake Bowl. It was a staple of Brine Lake Bowl for many years. So, Judy, tell me a little bit about why the 70s. So what when someone comes who's never seen Martini and Olive, I know you'll have a lot of repeat people who remember you and Grant, but what about people who have never seen the show before? What can they expect?
Well, it's Martini and Olive. They're it's a very cheesy lounge act caught in the 70s time warp. They think that they are big, huge celebrities, which is why they have a security guard, this disgruntled security guard who's just hysterical, and he gets in on the act and gets to read some of his personal poetry, which is just hysterical, and does a little Christmas bit. We sing medleys from the 70s, and Grant and I started doing this because we both are products of the 70s, and we love the music. He loved the disco, I loved the rock, and we just kind of put it together and came up with an arsenal of medleys from easy listening rock, country, funk, love, and holiday medley, holiday disco. But anyway, Martini and Olive, they're just a tragically unhip duo, kind of the Midwestern Sonny and Cher. And we have this cornball variety show that we've created with mediocre dancers that they're like the creme de la creme of adult dance class, the swizzle stick dancers. And you cannot believe them when you watch them, how you just, they're just so funny. They're not actors. We found them in adult dance class, and they're just great, and they get the joke, and they're so funny, and they just shouldn't be dancing, but they are, and they, everything is so earnest, and it's a mockery of the 70s, but it's with much love and sincerity and lots of great music. We're going to have Santa, a ventriloquist Santa. So that's something fun we're looking forward to.
That's
this
new.
Year.
Never heard of that
and
before.
Ben, he's new and very funny. And we also, of course, have our manager, Vince Beninsky. He sings hilarious original songs, a parody of the Edmund Fitzgerald called The Wreck of the Martini and Olive.
And that's played
and
by your husband.
Yes, Peter Stalock.
She didn't want to mention
and he's
that.
Great.
Yeah.
And he's great. Right, he's so funny.
Sorry,
and,
gents, she's off the market.
Well, Judy might be, but Olivia, I'm sorry, Olive Newton-John might be available.
Is very right. much available.
Yes, she's so available. And when you see the show, you'll know why she's so available.
we do have two free tickets to the Old Log Theater for December 17th.
The show runs December 17th and 18th, and we'll even do this. When we do the giveaway, we'll let you pick your night.
Oh, great.
You can pick your friends. You can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. Is that how it goes? But you can pick your night.
So a pair of free tickets, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have a question of 70s trivia, and we'll see if Judy knows this question.
Don't blurt it out.
Don't blurt it out.
Don't ruin it now.
What was the number one charted artist of the 1970s? And I'll give you a hint. It was not Martini and Olive. So there's one group that it was not. 651-275-1220. Pair tickets to Martini and Olive at the Old Log Theater. What was the number one charted artist of the 1970s? So I do have. Let's you talk about these medleys, and I want to play a little sample of this, which is just fantastic. There is not a commercially released Martini and Olive DVD, so the audio that I'm gonna play here,
but
is,
there should be.
There's so,
no, I think we're on to something.
We're working on that.
It's all on 8-track anyway, so.
Sure.
Well, and I was saying that, you know, your history, you're kind of stuck, and I said earlier a DVR or a DVD player, you pause at a certain point in time. Your 8mm projector is stuck in one frame right now, right? It's still stuck on December 31st, 1979.
Right, and that's part of the joy, I think, of the show. But it does need to be said that the show, you don't necessarily have to have lived through the 70s to really understand the show, because I came up through the ranks of show choir in high school.
Jazz hands,
and the whole thing, and just over the top and singing, you know, singing pop top 40 songs and then dancing to them, and taking it very seriously in high school. And it's great to kind of have this outlet to do that again and take it much less well. Tony Martini, the character, takes it very seriously, but it's just a treat. So you don't necessarily have to know the 70s, but if you know the 70s, it's even better.
Great. Judy, can you stand for one more segment?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back. Flashback.
Christmas out there, and it's something we can't share. We can steal it. Mary, we love
Mother
Baby.
We love Mary. We love Mother Baby.
When Mary's baby, when Mary's baby smiles at us, we go to Rio.
No, that's not Bethlehem.
When Mary's baby, when Mary's
Wahoo, baby smiles at us. We go to Wahoo Forest, Wahoo Forest, Wahoo Forest. Hey, let's run.
Baby Jesus is just all right with us. Baby Jesus is just all right.
Oh, yeah.
Disco bells, disco bells, disco all night.
Ring our bells, bells,
bells,
bells.
Ring our bells,
bells,
big bells, wide bells.
And that is Martini and Olive's Christmas Melody. That is Grant Ritchie with Judy, and we miss him all. And he will be with you when you are doing this for the first time on December 17th, right, Jack?
Absolutely. And you know, I kind of joke with my with our friend. I really like Grant so much that when he taught me in high school, I just acted like him. And so what I tell my high school friends is, you're going to see me playing the part of Grant Ritchie, playing the part of Tony Martini. So I try to keep his spirit alive, and I steal some of his moves as well. So he'll be very much present.
Just wanted to let you know we have Greg on the line.
Greg, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
And you have the answer for the number one charted artist of the 1970s.
I hope so. Elton John?
That is correct. That is correct. You have won a ticket, actually a pair of tickets to Martini and Olive at the Old Dog Theater, and we will get your contact information, and we will let you know how to get those.
Well, that's terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We got a big caller, a wise caller.
A wise caller who knows their 1970s, maybe even better than Martini and Olive.
Well, let's not get carried away here, Tom.
So, Judy, how has it been doing the show now without Grant? Has it been tough? Has it been surreal? How has that been?
Well, it's been surreal for sure. And it's been now, it'll be 3 years, well, it was just 3 years Thanksgiving that he's been gone. So it feels like it's totally the right time to get it going again. And it was, Martini and Olive was really our baby together. So, and I know Grant would have wanted it to go on. And the fact that Jack is doing it, one of his old students who he adored, I know that he's just smiling and loving it. So it's really been a wonderful journey, bringing it back, and getting the old cast back together with the new, and it's been very painless. Thanks, thank you, Jack. He's been great and very funny. So please come check it out, because you're just going to be dying looking at how silly this guy is on stage. He's so funny, Jack. So it'll be really, really fun to do again. I miss it, so I'm really happy that we're getting it going again here in the Twin Cities area. Well, because we did have done it in L.A. with with the L.A. Tony Martini, who's great, and a bunch of people in the cast out there. They're all from Minnesota as well. But to have the original cast back together with Jack, it's really going to be lovely, and I'm very much looking forward to it. And it's one of these shows that, you're right when you said that, even if you don't like the music of the 70s, you'll still love Martini and Olive kind of a thing, because it is it really does appeal to every demographic, even though we poke fun at the music and styling mistakes of the 70s. It really is a universal kind of show that'll perk up your holiday spirits and or trigger your bad 70s flashbacks. I don't know. But it's really fun for all ages.
Rudolph, Frosty, and Martini and Olive, the three things I need to have every holiday season, or it just does not feel like Christmas.
Well, I was looking here at some of your reviews that you guys have, and they are amazing. We've got, let me read off a couple if you don't mind. You'll howl with delight as this happy face duo launches into absurd medleys, a delightfully god-awful lounge act riotously over the top. That's LA Weekly that said that. That's amazing. And my other favorite one, ridiculously funny and wildly wrong. I can't wait to see it again. Tony and Olive made me wince, cringe, and howl with laughter, and the swizzle stick dancers had me at their first step ball change.
Yeah, the reviews
have
always...
I love the wincing and the cringing.
The reviews have been great, and I will say, having been, you know, kind of part of the family for, you know, since 1996, the cult following that there are people that, you know, for many years there, I had no active role in the show. I would just go see it every year. And I would recognize audience members that would come every single year to the show. So there is this kind of cult following. And for those of you who haven't been to the old log, because I know that pretty much geographically speaking, we're about as far away as you can get staying in the Twin Cities Metro. But for those of you who haven't been to Excelsior, it's very similar to Stillwater.
It's the West Side, yeah. Stillwater.
Yeah, and the theater is just this classic kind of, you know, it really is like a log giant cabin. Am I right, Judy, when I say that? I'm not overstepping.
It's so gorgeous. And it snowed yesterday, and I was leaving the theater, and Mike, we were just talking about how it reminds us of, if you've seen the movie White Christmas, it is the inn in that movie. You feel like you're in the movie White Christmas. Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. Well, they might show up.
Well, how many great
that's the only thing missing.
Hold the bang.
Great actors have come out of the Old Log Theater? Don Stoltz has mentored many young actors who become, I think Nick Nolte is one of them, that was performing at the Old Log Theater in the 70s and became multinational for many different reasons, but there's a few of them locally and nationally have come out of the Old Log Theater.
Right.
And now is Don
Anderson.
Has Don been working with you? Is that been your contact? I know that up until a couple of years ago, he was still the guy.
He is still the guy. Well, he's one of the guys. All the Stoltzes have their hand in it, and they're all just amazing. I just adore all of them. Don is 95 years old, but he goes to the theater 5 days a week, and he does the curtain speech a lot of the times. And he directed the show that I'm doing. I'm doing the night show there right now, Perfect Wedding, which is a British farce, very funny show. And Don directed it, and he's moving kind of slow at the junction there, but he still is sharp as a tack and so funny and so wonderful. All the guys, they've been wonderful too. They really helped me to launch Martini and Olive again, because I wanted to keep it alive, but it's such a huge undertaking all by myself without Grant. And the Stoltz family at the Old Log, they gave me a couple of dates at the Old Log, and they said, okay, why don't you just get it together and hold the auditions and see, you know, who comes in, and just kind of put it out there. So I'm so grateful to them. And it's such a great place to see a show. It's just a lovely place. With a full bar, Derek.
Oh, well.
Good little detail.
And the number to get tickets is?
Number to get tickets is 952-474-5951. I'll say that one more time. It's 952-474-5951. And it's also online at www.oldlog.com. And you can get tickets to Martini and Olive December 17th and 18th at 7:30. And yes, again, the bar is helpful, helps make the show a lot better. But be safe during the holiday season. Just have a couple, and we'll do the entertaining for you. You won't even have to worry about that. Put your feet up. It's $24 to see the show. But again, if you haven't made the trip to the Old Log and you live in Stillwater, you will go to Excelsior. I love that. I love the name of Excelsior. and you'll see Stillwater West.
Yeah, it is Stillwater West. It's a great town.
Yeah. So
it's right on the shores of Lake Minnetonka, and just gorgeous, beautiful little town. And it's so much fun. So I hope you bring the whole family and your office party and what have you. Groups of 10 or more, you get a discount.
And I think this is a great... great moment, and Judy and Jack, thank you both for being here today. It's great to talk about one of my favorite shows locally here, and about Grant, which I miss him every day. I think this is appropriate time to play The Morning After. This was, for those who have not seen the show before, Martini Olive had great videos they would play in between their acts or the show while they were doing a costume change. And someday we have to talk about putting these online somewhere, because they're too good not to see. This one was played. The 70s had a lot of disaster movies. I think we've had them recently, but Judy, help me out here. The movies that are in that collage. I know Airplane's one of them, or Airport's one of them.
Airport, Titanic. I'm not Titanic.
The one of Shelley Winters.
The morning after.
Yes.
Yeah. What the heck? Why can't I think
Poseidon?
Of it?
Was that
Poseidon? Poseidon Adventure.
Well, Earthquake.
Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure. Thank you.
Ernest Borgnine.
Earthquake. What else did we do?
When was the Towering Inferno?
Towering Inferno, Jaws.
That's in that one, too.
That's right, Jaws. There's clips of Jaws. So as you're hearing this, just imagine all of those
clips.
Well, some good, some bad 70s movies that are disaster mashing into each other. We're testing the mics there.
Yeah, this is
part of the magic. You're getting a look behind the curtain.
Oh, my God.
Now they show clips. We're showing clips of all sorts of disasters. Very funny disasters.
There's got to be a morning after if we can hold on through the night. We have a chance to find the sunshine. Let's keep on looking for the light. It's not too late. We should be giving. Only with love can we climb. It's not too late. Not while we're living. Let's put our hands out in time. Oh, can't you see the morning after? It's waiting right outside this door. Why don't we cross the bridge together and find a place that's safe?
That just defines the 1970s right there. I think we've done it.
Great, great. Well, thank you very much for having us, Tom.
We will see you at the Old Dog Theater in 2 weeks.
That sounds great.
Thank you both.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
So beyond the Martini and Olive Show, the 1970s were known for a lot of other great, well, we'll use the term great relatively. Before cable, networks had to produce all of the holiday programming that we were going to watch. And a lot of stars might have been under contract. They might have been, how do you bring the best of both worlds? For example, Sesame Street, the most popular kids program around, and Michael Jackson, the most popular youngest member of the Jackson 5. Well, CBS tried it in 1978, and they called it a special Christmas Eve on Sesame Street. Not to be confused with the version on PBS, this is the CBS network version, with Leslie Uggams and Ethel Merman, and Henry Fonda stopped by. But here's a clip of Oscar the Grouch and Michael Jackson discussing Christmas.
For seeing ghosts is because you are not keeping yourself busy enough. Your imagination is allowed to run wild.
Hey, fella, what's that book you're reading there, huh?
Everything you wanted to know about ghosts but were afraid to ask. It's really trash.
Oh, well, I happen to like trash. I tell you what, I'll give you this brand new broken portable TV for it, huh? What say?
Never mind. You can have this book gratis.
Yeah, but can I have it for free, too?
That, too. Merry Christmas.
Hey, well, I won't go that far, but thanks, pal.
See you later. Bye.
Now, that didn't end up in the annual tape pile that Rudolph and Frosty and a few of the others did. But I think that that was Michael Jackson and Oscar's only collaboration that I was able to find. With that being said, in the same year, 1978, CBS tried to, again, bring the best of both worlds. So Christmas and Star Wars. This would naturally be a great marriage of sorts. It didn't quite hit the way I think that they intended to. In fact, George Lucas has once said that if he could find every tape of this that is known to exist in bootleg and on the internet, he would destroy him personally. This is Carrie Fisher, known as Princess Leia, discussing the meaning of Christmas with Chewbacca.
All of you are an important part of my pal. I'm glad I could be here.
This holiday is yours, but we all share with you the hope that this day brings us closer to freedom and to harmony and to peace. No matter how different we appear, we're all the same in our struggle against the powers of evil and darkness. I hope that this day will always be a day of joy in which we can reconfirm our dedication and our courage, and more than anything else, our love for one another. This is the promise of the Tree of Life.
I'll spare everyone the full version. That actually is the song of Star Wars, sung to a unique Christmas song. Not sure who created that. I don't think anyone will ever take the credit for creating that.
Well, I can't blame George Lucas for wanting to destroy all of those.
No, it was one of those shows that everyone had heard about. They'd wanted to see it because after they aired it. And after you, if you're a Star Wars fan or a Christmas fan, after you watch it, you're going to want to there's some therapy you may want to have after watching that.
I'm a Star Wars fan, but I don't mind saying that is the worst Christmas special I think I have ever seen.
Now, I know a lot of Star Wars fans and non-Star Wars fans have watched that, and they all actually, it's the one time they do agree on the same thing, is that that should not, and actually they do show that occasionally here in town for a couple different charities. It's the only reason you should show that is for a good cause. A lot of these shows, in going through tapes that have been given to TCMediaNow.com, McDonald's, who is pretty good at Christmas commercials and sponsoring these kids programs, every year you remember the commercial where the kid's skating and he gets picked up by Ronald and they're twirling around, and that aired every year. A few of them did not air every year, and this next commercial is one of those.
It was Christmas Eve in McDonald's land. Everyone was asleep except Ronald, who had other plans. Out of his bed, he silently crept.
Cuckoo! What are you doing, Ronald?
Shh! I'm giving McDonald's gift certificates to all my friends.
So Hamburglar can get a hamburger.
And Grimace?
Is it Christmas yet?
Not yet.
Grimace can get a shake.
Christmas. Captain Crook, fillet a fish.
And the mayor?
Shh.
He can get a cheeseburger.
So to the chimney Ronald did reach.
You can get him at McDonald's, 50 cents each.
When suddenly, bright light shined in his eyes, Ronald turned around, amazed and surprised.
Hi, guys. I make too much noise?
Merry Christmas, Ronald!
All his friends had a present for him.
McDonald's gift certificates for me? Oh, gee. And a Merry Christmas to all of you from all of us at McDonald's.
Merry Christmas!
Giving McDonald's gift certificates to Ronald, that's a little bit like giving ice to a, you know, I don't want the PC term for that native is anymore, so I can't say it. Again, I want to thank my guests, Jack Stallman and Judy Hannigan, for coming in, Martini and Olive. Tickets can be purchased by calling 952-474-5951 or oldlog.com. If you enjoyed the Christmas commercials and Christmas bits you heard today, go to tcmedianow.com. Next week on Flashback Twin Cities, I'll be joined by the voice of Channel 9 for a generation, Ernie Martz. He'll be with me live in studio with more clips, more commercials, and more news audio from his 20-year career at KMSP. This is Flashback Twin Cities at KLBB Club 1220.